Hello and welcome to the Lofty Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Tanisha Coffey, aka the Lofty Entrepreneur. Thanks for joining me. As always, we are providing the best tips, tools, advice, and inspiration for aspiring and new entrepreneurs out there. So if you haven't already done so, click now to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Now, today's show is part of a special series I'm doing with some of my fellow co-authors of the book, The Fearless Entrepreneurs, Fear Less, Be More. Now, today I'm chatting with Marilyn Crump, founder of Art Inspired, creator of the 1K in a Day program, and president of the phenomenal Female Business Network. Thanks for joining me today, Marilyn. How are you?
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. I'm always great, especially when I'm amongst my peers. So yes, this is going to be a super fun time.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I read your chapter in the book, and there were a few things that stood out to me that I want to talk to you about. But first, give everybody, you know, kind of a little bit, a teaser about, you know, you as an entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, my journey has been just amazing, really. And I just want to credit everybody who's been supportive, especially my amazing husband. So shout out to Kenny Crump. Now, my journey actually started in the Philippines. My mom had a shop there, and so she was pretty entrepreneurial, but we were not like rich. And in certain countries, right, you're either poor or you have money. And we were the ones without the money. So, you know, so I grew up not really understanding a whole lot more than that, other than my mom tried. And then we moved here to the United States when I was 7. And then fast forward, you know, my mom actually would, you know, hire me out because I had like many talents. And one of the things I really love to do is sing. And so I would get hired for birthday parties. I was like, wait a minute. So you can make money in all these different ways. What's that? And so I was just curious. And so I was asking people to like take piano lessons with me and getting paid for that. And then photography, web design, I started getting into HTML. And so by the time I got to college, that was consuming my brain. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking like, I don't want to work for anybody. Like, is this possible for me to just be an entrepreneur, like straight up? So that's what I was like doing. So before I graduated college, I created Art Inspired, which has been my brand since the year 2000. So 21 years later.
21 years.
So yeah, and I'm just so happy about it. And some people might want to know, like, what does Art Inspired do? Like, most of it is like me sharing my creative talents in a lot of the digital, especially nowadays, online stuff, since I did start with HTML coding. But I love supporting other creatives and dreamers, created a bunch of programs. One of the things you mentioned was 1K in a day. So a lot of that is helping entrepreneurs really live that life. And since that's all I've known, that's me pouring it back, right? Mm-hmm. Just helping as many people as I can.
Now, if I recall correctly, you talked about something that really kind of hit home for me, which was about fear of what the kind of family, friends think about when you're trying to do this whole quote unquote entrepreneur thing, you know? Tell me about that. Did you face any sort of kind of resistance or pushback? Because you said your mom was an entrepreneur, but I know that parents don't always.
Remember, she tried. She tried.
Yeah.
And we were in a poor country, right? And then we moved here. It was like, we leave that behind. We're going to do what people do in America, which is work hard, work overtime. You know, like you please the boss, like she totally left that.
Okay.
So when I wanted to start doing, you know, and she was getting me into things without realizing that she was feeding that back into my head.
Right.
But then, you know, oh gosh, you're doing things that's going to probably fail because I failed. Right. Mm-hmm. And so then it was not encouraged. It was like, go to college, get this job, you know. Why don't you work for someone long-term, which is what they've done. My mom literally just retired Monday of this
week. Oh, wow.
She's had her long-term job, you know, government contractor, all that good stuff too. And so I'm the anomaly. So you can't support an anomaly, right? Like they love you, people love you, but they're not going to say the most encouraging things to you. And I hear it all the time. People go, my husband doesn't support me. My family doesn't support me. People don't understand that I'm trying to juggle kids and my dreams at the same time. Like, you know, so I hear it and I go, yes, I've heard all of that. And it really makes you feel like that you're not doing something right. And then you become fearful of like, well, what if I do fail? Like, are they right? Am I going to fail?
I told you so. I told you you should have been doing such and such. That's why you should have listened. That's why that voice. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And even before you begin, right? You're already kind of hearing it. You haven't even put one foot in front. And you're already kind of like, it's echoing in your head.
Right.
But then when you do put the foot in front, then they're going to even get louder. Wait, did you not hear my echo in your head? I'm going to say to you all, you know, out loud right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay. I have two questions for you. So the first question is, so what was it in you that helped you to kind of push past those? Because you saw, you know, you saw your mother struggling when you were young, and then, you know, you get to the point when you're older and she's saying, no, don't do what I did. So how do you get the courage to do it, especially at that young age? Because that you're in college, literally most people are in college to go work for somebody else. And you're doing something
else. Nope. Well, what I found was I love to read. And when you were my age back then, like you had to read books on how to HTML code. There wasn't Google. Like we had dial up Netscape and there was a web crawler. That's how you could search things. Like Google wasn't this big thing where you can find information. So you still went to the bookstore.
Yeah.
So go to the bookstore and like go look up stuff. And, you know, at the bookstore, there's other things happening in there, right? Like the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So one of the things that I read early on, right before college, was that book. And it was like really fascinating because, wait a minute, what are they talking about? Like, you know, you can be self-employed, or you could have a business, or you could sell intellectual property, because what I was building with the codes was intellectual property. This was before a lot of people had websites.
Right.
You know, because this is Netscape, like literally
2000. There wasn't a lot of that back in 2000.
Correct. So I was on the verge of innovation and I knew it. And I knew that this world was changing. Something was different. So you can't stop innovation. It's almost like now you try to tell your kids something. They're like, I'm going to Google that. You know, mom,
fact
check my own parent. Like they do that.
The Google Home. Hey, Google, is it really?
That's right. Yeah, they're like, I'm not listening to you, mom. I'm gonna.
Alexa, that's my Google.
Alexa, is my mom right? You know, if someone slapped me on the back, my eye is gonna stay crossed forever. If I roll my eyes, you know.
Right.
So it's almost like the world was already calling to me, and I'm sure you probably felt the same way. Like, we're in that generation, right? Like we're bridging from the old school to the new school and just certain things you can't stop. But you were asking like, how did I stop listening to all that stuff other than, you know, because yes, I'm feeling that, but other people aren't. I think when you're in a creative brain, one of the things you learn to do is shut people out, mm-hmm. right? When you're in that flow zone. So some of you feel that when you're doing your thing, if it's graphic design, whether you're coaching someone, you get into that flow and you're like, I need to stay in this flow, whatever it takes. And so if you really cherish what you do, if you really love what you do, I feel like you can overcome so many other fears and adversity, because that's just going to keep energizing you. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to feel emotional. There are many years that I've cried about like, no one loves me because they become it. But then deep inside, I was like, I love this stuff. Like, I can't imagine doing anything else. So I have to make it work.
Right. Now I'm curious, in retrospect, I know you were young when your mom, you know, was doing her business. But from the adult perspective, from what you can remember, was she actually failing at it? Or was it just, you know, as an adult, you have all these other responsibilities and other things to do. You know, what do you think? Because to me hearing your mom being an entrepreneur, especially in a country where there's such a huge, you know, gap between the haves and the have nots. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that she, you know, in your entrepreneurial mind, how was she doing? was, I mean, I understand that it was tough and you needed a change, but just isolating it, was she actually doing
it? Yeah, Tanisha, well? I've never had anyone ask me that. And that's such a beautiful question that you're asking. And what I love that's bringing it up for me is that I thought she was the neatest person in the world when I was a little kid. Because she would take me to these little like markets and we would buy stuff because hers was like a little store, mm-hmm. like a corner store. Like there was little garments for kids and like she'd sell little makeups and things like that. I just thought it was fascinating watching your mother like, you know, put the count together and things like that. And now as a grown up and being in my business, I'm like, she was so brave. And wasn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You know, if I could have coached her, like I'd go back.
What would you tell her? What would you tell her?
I'd be like, girl, you have great ideas. Keep it going. Right. Yeah. Like, I think when you don't have enough people around you, and she probably did not, my dad was overseas here in the United States. So, you know, I think it was, you know, you just try stuff. But again, when they moved over here, and here's the thing, you know, and I don't like to like be saying anything divisive, but you move here, you're a Filipino, you have a very thick accent and you don't know the language as much. Do you really feel like you're going to successfully run a business here?
Mm-hmm. Most people probably don't, unless they have that support, you know?
Right. But you leave that behind. But if the culture's not supporting you, and this is in the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
We moved here in the 80s. Would an immigrant at that point really feel like she could do it? Maybe now, because there's internet to tell you can, but that in that part of life. So meaning there was no alternative. You don't move into this country without money and assume you're going to be an entrepreneur, a female Filipino entrepreneur of color, right?
Like
you
know, right.
That's that in the 80s. So I understand the context of where she was at. But that also, when you move into a new country, you're going to have all this fear. And some of that you try to like, maybe inadvertently, you're passing that those fears off to your kids because mm-hmm. you're like, look, we're visitors here. You know, we didn't come from here. We still don't know the language here. You know, be careful. Don't talk to that person or don't do that. Or this is what's expected. And you don't see like females running businesses in the 80s. You don't see people of color doing a lot of things back then. So I can imagine like my mom's first thing that she did here was to be like, you know, she would volunteer at the school to be near us. But one of her first real jobs was a seamstress,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's what a lot of the Asians were doing in the country. But just think about that when you transition. So some people might be, their fear is they want to move to a different country and start a business right now. Right. So I think we have it a whole lot better at this day and age. So it's good. So I am very thankful for, you know, all the sacrifice that my parents made to come here. All of our parents, the sacrifice mm-hmm. they've made to just like succeed in the workforce, right? Especially our mothers.
Cause I think that's pretty amazing what she was doing. Now, again, the thing is that I think stories of entrepreneurship are timeless. Because the reasons that people become entrepreneurs vary. I don't know your mother's story. I don't know why she became an entrepreneur. I don't know if it was choice or necessity, you know, like, you know, just like survival. But the reality is every entrepreneur goes through that. Every entrepreneur has some point where they're working hard, and they might not be making that money yet. There's that time. And then there's times where people will make money and they might just be making do, you know, but guess what? People in corporate are doing the exact same thing. You know, they're just making do, you know, some people corporate or, you know, non-corporate, but, you know, working for somebody else. So I, you know, just kind of hearing that story, the fact that she was an entrepreneur, a female entrepreneur in the 80s in a country where, you know, there was less opportunity, you know, I got to give her, you know, a round of applause, you know, just for doing that. And then also for you, for kind of being able to kind of take the nuggets in that she instilled in you, whether she wanted to or not, to be doing everything that you're doing, because like, you're just like, phenomenal, you know, with everything you have going on with your business. But I want to talk about this whole kind of rejection being part of the process. That was something that really stood out to me in your chapter, and you talked about that. Tell me a little bit more from your vantage point, because I wholeheartedly believe in that.
So rejection, I mean, there's just there's rejection that you might face with the people that care about you, but then also, like, in the business world, there's rejection all the time. One of the things that I've been able to do with my freelance career, I had a mentor who she passed away in 08, but before all of that, you know, she was teaching me a lot about the Hollywood industry, because she had a casting director. She was a casting director in Richmond, Virginia. And so rejection was kind of part of that process.
Yeah.
And so I would watch that people audition. I was auditioning myself, you know, there was all these things, and you kind of start relaxing. The more rejection you face and it doesn't kill you, you kind of go, oh,
yeah,
there's a lot of these to come. I shouldn't take them personally. Like, they're all going to build me up in some way. And so I don't know, maybe I've always been positive. Maybe I've been born positive, but, you know, little bit of rejection, yes, it will sting. Like, it's a, you know, it's like a slap in the face when you get rejected in many different ways. But when you start kind of seeing the other side of that, like, okay, maybe they rejected you for different reasons. Maybe it's all in their head why they rejected you. Or maybe you really did need to polish this better. You really need to be more prepared, and that's why you were rejected. I always try to figure out why did that happen, and how can I change the next time, or can it be changed? You know, so it's almost like living in that moment. So I love practices you're talking about. Rejection is an emotion, right? Or, I mean, we have an emotional reaction to that. And, you know, I'm so happy to have met people, even in college. Like, our dance professor was all about, like, you know, looking at the world, as, like, you know, being in peace. And he was the first to introduce yoga to me. Right. And so you collect all those things and say, people have wisdom to share, and the wisdom that they're sharing can help me in these emotional factors, whether it's rejection, whether it's just getting too excited and then you mess up, you know, like, there's ways to kind of get into a practice where you're centering your focus, you're realizing what's really important and where you need to move on from there. And that's big for any entrepreneur. You've got to have some kind of, like, mental practice, physical practice, emotional practice, because you are everything, you know, in your world. You're a CEO, you're a VP, you're everything, and you got to treat yourself right.
Yeah. So one of the things that I liken it to when I go through those kind of rejections is, you remember those blow up dolls back in the day that you could, like, you could punch them, and, you know, but yeah, exactly. They, you know, you could hit it so hard and it would just boom, hit the ground, but then it would pop back up. And sometimes I'm like, I'll tell my husband, that's how I feel some days when certain things happen. You know, maybe it's, you know, I think I'm going to get a new client, and, you know, everything's going well. And then the kids bust in, and true story, kid busts in saying, "Mommy, there's glass all over the floor," in the middle of me trying to close a client. And I'm like, I gotta go. You know, there, you know, moments like that, or, you know, just days where it's like, you're grinding and you're putting in all this work, and you think that all this effort you're doing is going to be the thing that's going to just completely, you know, shift your course the way you want it, and it doesn't happen. But the thing is you have to be, as an entrepreneur, you have to be that person that can spring back up just like that doll. You know, does it take time to become that for some people? Absolutely. I'm one of those people. Like, I am not, you know, that people will look at me and think I have this, like, super tough, you know, kind of exterior, and I can in certain things and when I have to, but, you know, when it's stuff that's close to you, you know, like your job, your business, it gets hard sometimes. Oh, yeah. You know, to keep having to get back up and redirect and pivot and all that, but that is part of the journey. And each time, you know, I talk about it in my chapter in the book, you know, it'll hit you, it'll knock you over, but then you get back up And at first it may take you longer to get back up, but then eventually you do. And then the next time it takes less time. And then the next time you may not get knocked down as far. And then eventually you get to the point where the things that used to knock you all the way down when you first started, you shrug off now. And now it's bigger things, you know, maybe it takes bigger things, you know. So, yeah.
Well, no, I like that you said that, and that's a great analogy. People can really get more resilient that way by knowing that they can always get back up, right? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, to me, and same, I'm going to echo what back to you, because there's people who might be watching this that go, oh, I know Marilyn. She's always got it together. She's smiling all the time and she's winning all the time. But behind all those wins, right? And you know this, like that win that you see finally happen, there was maybe like 100 rejection and losses for every one win. Mm-hmm. And you think about that, right? And so you don't see that because intentionally, like, I don't want to dump all of the frustration to other people. That's for me to deal with, right? Right. But, you know, if we're going to have an honest moment here, that happens all the time. And that's why I gave my husband the shout out as we began this, because, you know, I used to be in a different kind of marriage. We weren't perfectly matched, you know, just was not the deal. This guy is my best friend. You got to have a best friend. Doesn't have to be your husband. Does not have to be your husband. Okay. Can be somebody else. Could just be your sister, somebody who believes in you. Mm-hmm. But guess what? When those days happen, which is a lot of those days. Okay. I have to go to somebody else and release it, because keeping it inside, just faking it, is not for me. And it's not, I know it's going to just tear me up inside and I'm not going to really deliver what I can deliver. So there has to be a release somehow. And normally if somebody is there, like, you know, just wrapping you up and understanding, it's just the best gift ever, right? If you don't have that, there's other ways to do that, but I recommend doing that. And then, you know, just in that factor that you're having to, like, you know, build up in that punch in the gut that you were talking about. Like, it's almost like when we're parents, right? We can't quit being parents. I have 5 kids and my oldest is turning 18 in January.
Oh my gosh. You know,
the way kids reject you is like the worst feeling. Like, anybody else can reject you, but when your teenager rejects you, it's like, what in the world? You know, like, what can I do with my life? Like, you know, I'm worthless than you. Like, no one can make you feel so small than your children. I'm just telling you. So,
oh my God. So I have that to look forward to. Okay. Okay. Prepare.
And so that teaches me, like, because I find that if anything's important to you, you're going to have feelings about it. We're not robots, right? And to me, the fact that I care about a project, you know, if it didn't go well, that I feel hurt. Well, it shows me that, oh, you really did care about that. You really do want to keep going with that. If you never felt any hurt with a failure, then maybe you didn't want it anyway.
Right. Oh, that's powerful. Because I think a lot of times, especially moms, especially mompreneurs or aspiring mompreneurs, you know, we have guilt about all the things that we're doing, the time that we're putting into the work, or we think, or for those who are not entrepreneurs yet, they think they can't do it because of all their other responsibilities. And that guilt is kind of, you know, that's like along that same path. Like, if you didn't care, the fact that you do care, the fact that you are thinking about, oh my gosh, I spent 4 hours today working on such and such, and my kid was watching the TV the whole time. You know, the fact that you feel guilty about it means that you care, which means that you are, you know, in my opinion, please don't write me, please don't be mean to me, people. You know, like, in my opinion, that means that, like, you're thinking about it on a different level. You're not just okay. You would like to be doing something else with your child at that time that may be different. Maybe it's watching the show with them, you know, or maybe it's doing something, you know, completely different. But the point is you care. So that kind of, that's important to kind of give yourself grace in those scenarios. And the same thing that you're talking about, like, if you're trying to do something and you and you didn't, you really don't care about it, then you probably really didn't want that thing. And then on the flip side, for the things that you do, I talk about it all the time because it's something I struggle with, you know, the day in, the day out of, you know, deciding like, okay, should I continue with this? You know, because you always think the grass is greener on the other side. You're like, oh, you know, like you said, there's people talking, oh, go get the real job, go do this. And some days when your mind is not as strong, you're like, yeah, maybe I should, because this is hard. And my kid said this, like you said, that rejection and all these things come pouring in. But then the thing is that you wouldn't be in such angst over it if you didn't care. So like, right. if entrepreneurship wasn't for you, if there wasn't still something in you that said, I can do this, or this is the right path for me, then you wouldn't care. And it would be a really easy decision to be like, okay, I'm done data, and to move on to something else. You.
Exactly.
But you know, if you're in that moment where, I said it earlier today, like if you're at that point where you're asking yourself, man, should I keep doing this? Then I think really that's not the right question to be asking yourself. You should be asking yourself, do I want to do the alternative? Because then that kind of puts things in perspective. Like if you prefer the alternative than what you're doing, then you have your answer. But if you don't, then you need to put your big girl, big boy pants on, whatever it is. Take your moment to be, you know, knocked down, mm-hmm. and then figure out how you're going to get yourself back up, to figure out what you did, what you need to do differently to improve. Why did you fail? Why, you know, was it really a failure, or was it just your perception of a failure because you didn't reach a certain goal, but then you neglected to look at where you started to give yourself credit for what you did do? You know, they're, oh my gosh. Okay.
But girl, you're saying a lot of great things, because you were talking about, should I go back to what I know? Like I never had that. Right. So when people say that, I'm like, what's that? Like, mm-hmm. you mean work for someone? I don't know. You know, so I can't help you there, because what I see is that people have like the experiences that they brought into the entrepreneurship game from working for somebody. Mm-hmm. And if you've never had that to begin with, then there's nothing to really like go back to in that thinking right. mode. So what I tell people is that you got to leave that whole world behind, because that whole, like, I got to meet a quota, I got to meet an expectation, all these other people's expectations, like that was probably way tougher for those who've had a boss, had a job, you know what I mean? To get rid of that pace, because you just talked about maybe some mompreneurs feel guilty for 4 hours of work, but think about it. If you worked a 9 to 5, you have to commute to work, mm. have to be there from 9 to 5, and then you're tired and grumbling about something maybe you don't even have a passion for. So what are your kids observing? They don't see you all day, and then you're complaining about your work. So what's mm-hmm. worse, right? Like an entrepreneur who's right. like, I got to really build my name, because my name is my reputation and the way I feel like confident about who I am. And then my kids see that. And then, you know, you have like that interaction with them to say like, I'm doing what I can to stay home with you, even though I might be in a different room locked away. Right.
Right.
This is like my love language. So when they're old enough to speak a love language, they go, oh, look at what my mom's doing for us. Right. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, she hates that job. Why is she there? She's always complaining about her coworkers and her boss. Like, I don't get it, you know? Right, and then right. they just learn a whole world of like complaining and gossip and like settling. I wouldn't want that for my kids that I'm raising. And speaking of kids, like I have 5 kids, right? And you heard about the older
bless
one.
You. Yes.
Thank you. And then,
you know, prayer for you right now. Let me send a prayer for you. Right? You.
And they are super blessings, but guess what? Like our twins, they're 6-year-old, they're 6 and they're on the autism spectrum. Like they don't communicate with us. They have their own kind of language, and you know, there's certain things that they can't articulate, but then that's an extra level, right? Like when you have special needs kids and 5 kids, you know, yeah. twins have that same thing and you want to communicate with them. So you know, sometimes people see that scene and they just go, wow, how do you handle that? You know, and again, you just really need a good support system, but in their own way, they have a different expectation from me, right? That we get to have those moments where I'm into their world for that moment, then they start respecting me for my world. And mm-hmm. so everything's relational. You can make sure that you're always communicating, and I don't care what kind of way, like, you know, even with my special needs kids, right? You know, we can communicate the fact that when mommy sees you, mommy's eyes are lit up and she's all like, I'm just going to squish you all day.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, mom, you've squished me enough. I'm going to go do my thing. Right. So it's quality versus quantity as well as all the moms out there and the dads out there.
Absolutely.
You know, and you can't measure up a normal. There is no normal. Whatever your normal is, what you commit to doing.
Yes. Yes. I think that's hugely important, because I think if someone were watching my world, you know, on a day, now it's not like super exciting or anything, but there sure can be some loud chaos, you know, just in trying to have a day of work. But and from the outside looking in, somebody might be like, that is just not working. But it's just not working how you work, you know, right. Like outside, you know, outside of the home, even those who are entrepreneurs and work outside of the home, the environment is different. You can just focus and just do that thing for that time. I mean, I'm a homeschooling mompreneur, so my kids are always here, you know, so it's always a challenge. There's rarely times when I'm doing things, you know, straight through, but I get things accomplished and my children are educated and I do get to spend that quality time with them. Sometimes it's saying, okay, you know what? I can't focus because y'all keep coming in here, you know, asking me for this, that, and the other. So maybe that's the universe saying, take a break. Let's go play with some Legos. Let's go to the pool. Let's do a quick cooking lesson because you're hungry anyway.
Even if you're just like, no, you know, like, I'm going to come out, but I have a headache. Like, you're allowed to be human, right?
Yeah.
Like, certain days where I'm just like, oh, I forgot to eat. So,
okay.
What did you all not eat? I'll eat that. You know?
Yeah, exactly. bring me the rest of you. I know you need on at lunch. Bring it here.
Yeah, exactly. And then I don't look like this. In between, you know, my hair is like, and I throw on my most comfortable t-shirt, you know, like you do what you do. And what was beautiful about this past 2020, right, is that everybody got to experience what some people call their normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, kids home, getting homeschooled, you know, and people go, so this is what it's like to be a stay-at-home parent.
Right.
Everybody was home. Everybody was home. And I'm like, what a gift that was for people to have at least a taste of that perspective. So I think now if you're out there, people see that, they're like, oh, that looked like my pandemic household. So, I appreciate that, mama, now.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this has just been amazing, you know, being able to sit down and chat with you. So I appreciate you so much for taking the time out to do that with me. I know that you also have a podcast. So do you want to go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about your podcast and how they can listen in?
Sure. So if you ask Siri, I want to hear the dream success strategy. It'll pull up that way. If you go to iHeartRadio, it'll pull up that way. So dream success strategy, and I break down dream, DREAM, it's a way for you to achieve all your goals, right? So there's your direction. Then you got to relinquish, like once you pick that direction, you got to relinquish things so you can't have heavy baggage going into efficiency. And if you look at books like Think and Grow Rich, the middle chapter there, the thickest chapter in the book is organized planning. So that's got to tell you something right there. So efficiency is really modeled after that. And then action, inspired action, where you're really kind of now doing the thing because now you're efficient, you've gotten rid of the baggage, you know where you're going, then you can take action. and then momentum. So I like exploring all those different points. I like meeting people who are working on their dreams like you, and really who are people who are inspirational about it all. So in the podcast, there's interviews from other people that I just admire and respect, other authors, creatives, etc. The first season was more me breaking down all the philosophies and talking about like how you weave the whole dream success strategy into your life. And then this next part that's coming out, it's all about like, these are people that I feel like they've attempted all of these wonderful things and they've learned from it and they're now sharing it, right? So thank you for sharing your journey with everybody out there. And the more that, you know, we are all kind of like interconnecting and showing up for each other, that's beautiful to me. Like the people who just won gold, you know, mm-hmm. they got to share the gold medal.
Yeah.
That, you know, gives you the chills. And I think like, what if the world shared more medals together, right? And like, it wasn't always about like, who's the best in the competition, stuff like that. Like we took care of each other. We understood when people get to their limits, like, you know, and if they have to like rest for a minute and still be there and say, we still respect you, right? You don't have to be perfect all the time. We'll still be here to support you when you're ready. I think that that's just the most beautiful thing. So hopefully I'm expressing that in my podcast. I know you're definitely expressing that in these interviews as well. So I just appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much again for your time today. I appreciate you. Those of you who are watching and listening, you can read Marilyn's full story and mine too in the book, The Fearless Entrepreneur, Fearless Be More. Please visit theloftyentrepreneur.com/thefearlessentrepreneurs to grab your copy. Thanks so much, Marilyn, for joining me. I will talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye.